All right, let's talk about one of everybody's favorite subjects. Let's talk about babies. Everybody loves babies. Well, almost everybody. 98% of you love babies, except for right in the middle of the night. After you lay that baby down and you go and you just hit that REM sleep or you just hit that deep sleep, and you snuggle, you feed, you pull out the gas drops, you turn on the sound, it's 2.5 hours later, you throw the, not that part. Babies are adorable, babies are cute. Babies are fun. Babies are lovable. Okay? What else are babies? Help me out here, though. Expensive. Listen, there's some truth to that. Babies are expensive because they have needs, all right, that require extra items, diapers, formula, all right, bibs, all right, because they aren't mature enough to do things on their own. You know what else babies are? And this isn't mean. Babies are selfish. They are selfish. I'm hungry. I'm sleepy. I want my mommy. I need this. Babies are needy, all right? But they are babies. And as hard as it is, we've got to have some consideration for that. As babies grow, okay, our job, and this is a fun argument on Facebook and everything else, our job, and I got to find a tactful way to do this as a preacher, our job is to nurture them to the removal of their face from their mother's milk, okay? Our job is to move them away from mom's nourishment into rice cereal, into little things that dissolve, and then into solid food, and then into, you know, hot dogs, and then into grapes, and then into, you know, real food, all right? And once they are on real food, it is our job to sit right next to them, to stick a fork in the steak, to put it in their mouth, to stick a fork in the steak, to put it in their mouth, because that's your job, right? No. There comes a time when your 17-year-old needs to cut his own steak. There comes a time when your 7-year-old needs not to be covered by a blanket and laying on your chest. Some of you are like, there comes a time when a 2-year-old, yes, y'all debate that all you want to. Here's my point. There comes a time when you pop off, all right? You're done. Thank you, Cindy. Now hear me. The same thing applies with you. And this is not an analogy that the preacher is giving you. This is a strong New Testament biblical principle. Once you were babies, you needed colostrum. You needed milk. You needed formula, lipids, all right? You needed protein. You needed vitamins. And now it's time to grow up. Now it's time to move on. All right? And this morning is about me saying to you, wherever you are in the process, it's time to move forward. And you moving forward, you ready for this? Isn't my job. Telling you to move forward is. Encouraging to move forward is. Helping you find food is. Going to the spiritual grocery store is my job. Spoon feeding you is not. Cutting your steak for you is not. Helping you figure out the difference between milk and meat is also a biblical principle. So let me talk about that. We're going to look at some verses this morning that talk about spiritual milk. And the analogy is mama's milk, okay? I didn't make that up. That's the analogy, all right? It also talks about craving spiritual meat, all right? There are two things that you need to understand about that. Two ways for you to hear that, to dissect it. Way one, milk, meat, okay? Milk is childlike food, all right? Milk is easily digestible. Milk is what you get as a baby. And meat is mature things, all right? So think the difference between formula and steak, all right? That's one way to look at it. But there's another way to look at it, all right? And we're going to see the verse that lines this out. Actually, the Bible, not yet. Actually, the Bible focuses on the difference between milk and meat as milk being very necessary, milk being incredibly nutrient-rich, milk being the starting point and the basis for your faith in Christ. Milk would be defined as, I know how I'm saved, by whom I'm saved, what baptism means, what communion is for, who the Son is, who the Father is, all of the basics of your theology that you need to, as the Bible says, study to show yourself approved of, all right? The meat, then, is all of the rest of that, but will include, you ready for this? It will include, you know how we say the Bible is fully sufficient, but it is not exhaustive? You know what I'm talking about there? The Bible is sufficient, meaning all of the answers are available to you, but it's not exhaustive. If I need to know whether or not I'm allowed to smoke, let me look it up. It doesn't say thou shalt smoke or thou shalt not smoke. Listen, spiritual meat involves the relationship you have with the Holy Spirit, where He is speaking into you, and you can then speak with Him, and you find a way to understand God's will for you in that. That is spiritual meat. Being able to have the answers by faith in your spirit to the things that aren't lined out in there specifically. You will know that you have reached spiritual maturity when you are able to discern that. And the one who can discern that, because he is not only from the one who sent him, he is the one who sent him, is Jesus. And our job as Christians is to do what? Grow in faith and maturity until we are what? Like Christ. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to carry it on to completion. What is that completion? When we are made like Christ. When we return to the way He made us. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. That's the goal. Back to one. I've said it over and over again. I need to prove to you that this is a biblical thing. I need to teach you what my role is and what your role is, and then I need you to follow it. But let's make sure that the Bible says it, not that Craig says it. So let's walk through some scripture together this morning. Check it out. Here we go. Number one, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But grow. Grow. Okay, not but sit, not but attend, not but be around, not but give, not but smile, not but shake hands, but what? If you're not growing, you've already failed, okay? This is not a treadmill. Paul doesn't say, I have run the treadmill to reach the prize. No. I have run the race. If you're not going anywhere and sitting still, it's already a fail, okay? So we start with, but grow. Okay? In the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to Him be the glory. So as we grow, it is not for applause. It is not for recognition. It is not to get your name on the front of the church. It is not to get your name on the plaque. But grow, why? To bring glory to God. This is the ultimate goal. He works the amazingness in me, and I then reflect His glory and majesty rather than ask for the glory and majesty. The original individual who was blessed by God and asked to be noticed is who? Satan. Satan's great fail was saying, look at me. When I reflect the majesty of God, look how awesome I am. No, 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 no. To him be the glory. When you sing it, that's what it is. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done in my life. What you see is all because of him. I don't need your attention. I don't need your applause. But some of us do. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus than men. Would you? Would you? Or do you need me to feed you, to pat you on the bottom? Do you need me to snuggle you up? Or are you ready to grow in the grace and knowledge? Next verse. Same book, same author, Paul talking to Peter. No, Peter is teaching like newborn babies, okay? Crave. Whoa, there we go. When I'm hungry, I cry out. When I'm hungry, I cry out. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. It's a very simple analogy. God wants you to want his word like a baby wants milk. God wants you to, and that happens once a day, right? Once a week, right? How often does it happen, mamas? Every couple of hours. Are you ready to go this far? What if the goal, the Spirit-led goal, was that we are to yearn for some kind of food from the Scriptures every 2, 3, or 4 hours of our waking moment? Let me ask you this. If we were to spend that kind of time, even if it were for but a second, with the Creator of the universe as we go throughout our day, how different would our day be? Why do you think the Old Testament writer said, morning, noon, and night, I seek your face? Because they understood something that we seem to nod at. I'm catching this, like, this whole side of the room. That's it. Here's my thing. When was the last time, morning, noon, and night, you decided that in order to fix what was going on, in order to be not angry, in order to be not upset, you said, maybe, just maybe, I can listen to a podcast, I can read a Lucado, I can open to Hebrews. Why don't I search the Scripture? Why don't I look for some spiritual food instead of letting it all go to and then calling the preacher? Am I going to be there for you? Of course I am. But today, while you're still in decent shape, I'm looking right at you and I'm saying, oh, grow up! And I'm not being mean, I'm actually quoting Scripture. Literally, church, it's time for us to grow up. Crave, so that by it you may grow in your salvation. Here's what's next. 2 Corinthians, brothers and sisters, I do not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly. So Paul's clear. Hey guys, I'm looking out at you, and I'm not talking necessarily to the spiritually mature yet. I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt, and we'll start at the beginning. It's a very good place to start. Okay? Sound of Music. You're welcome. Mere infants in Christ, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. Listen, there are some people who are trying to digest the depth of theology, and they haven't figured out yet that Jesus is the way. Okay? They're trying to work out how to deal with being a spouse, how to deal with being a parent, how to deal with issues in the church, how to deal with their own neediness and selfishness, and they've yet to figure out their salvation in Christ, okay? And here's what God says. Let's look at another verse. Check this out. Therefore, oh, I wanted to 1 Corinthians, but we're going to move on. Therefore, let us move beyond elementary teachings. You're fine. Therefore, let us move on beyond elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward into maturity. He says, I can't leave you here, all right? I can't. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts and that leads to death and the faith in God, instructions about cleansing rites, laying on of hands, resurrection, dead, eternal judgment. He says, all of these things, these simple things, the resurrection of God, prayer, the laying on of hands, instructions about being clean, all of the little things that you want to learn how to do, that's all well and good, okay? But your spiritual maturity comes in having a foundation in these things and having Christ in you. Now, you've heard me quote this verse before, and I honestly don't know if it's going to come up here or not, but I'm going to quote it now. A natural man, somebody without Jesus, does not understand the things of the Spirit. They are foolishness to him because he is not spiritually appraised. Here's what that's like doing. That's like giving a baby with no teeth a hot dog and expecting them to deal with it without choking, without crying, without dying. You wouldn't do that. But here's what some of us want. We want Craig to preach on deeper things, on more things. Well, if I did that, I would spiritually choke you. We're not as mature as we think we are. And sometimes what we want to do is we want to wave our flag of knowledge about the Old Testament, wave our flag of knowledge about Scripture memory, wave our flag of knowledge about how much service we're doing and what we're teaching the children. But at the end of the day, you don't even have a relationship with God. So as you read the Scripture, they're foolishness to you. And it's why you can't figure out what's going on from one day to the next. You can quote it, but it means nothing. Time to grow. Next. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear because you're no longer trying to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God all over again. You need milk, not solid food. You know what Paul's doing here? He's looking at his deacons, at his Pharisees, at the people who are in charge. And they're fighting, they're not getting along, they're worried about the carpet, they're worried about the pews, they're worried about the chandeliers, they're worried about who's serving and who's not serving in VBS, they're worried about why she got on two times in children's ministry and I only had to serve one time, they're worried about why I had to serve one time and they get to serve two times. They're worried about all of these things, and Paul comes in and he says, you want me to come in here and fill your cup. Here's the problem. You don't have a cup. I see no evidence that you have any faith at all. All of this whining, all of this complaining, all of this gossip in the name of loving one another or taking care of one another, all of this pretentiousness in the name of serving, all of this dishonesty in the name of leadership, all of this fighting in the name of advancing the gospel shows me nothing but your immaturity. It's time for milk and then solid food. And Paul took some blowback for it. Who do you think you are? Well, my point exactly. Do you hear what Paul, you know? Rah, 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 rah. There's my point. You don't even know how to hold your temper, much less your tongue. Where's the spiritual maturity in that? Anyone who lives on milk being still an infant is not acquainted with teachings about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Listen, spiritual immaturity is defined by selfishness. Spiritual immaturity is defined by the things we talked about a baby being. It's defined by your need for others to feed you. It's defined by your need for others to love you. It's defined by your need to have your way. It's defined by your taking instead of giving. It's defined by selfishness, all right? It's defined by all the things that we lay out in our covenant. Now, if that steps on your toes, I really don't care. But here's the question of the hour. If you say you are not selfish, yet your giving is not the first thing that you do back to God, what do you want me to call you? If you say you're not selfish, but you walk out of here on Sunday morning and go, I wish he'd sang that song. I wish he'd preached like this. I wish he'd have gotten out sooner. I wish I didn't have to be in children's ministry today. Then who is it about? You guys are awfully quiet. Who's it about? I say something that, better use the right word, ticks you off. Because if I use the wrong word, people might leave. Question, who's it about? I've got some amens there. Church, all of these things come back to this. Solid food is for the mature. Listen to me. You can't digest the real meat until you get the milk right. You can't do it. It's not possible. Well, Craig, how do I know if I'm there? Right here in verse 14. Solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. How do I know if I'm spiritually mature? When the opportunity arises in everyday life, do I make the mature or the immature response? As you grow, you make more mature responses in your everyday life. Constant use of milk, what you learned on milk, constant use of flexing the small spiritual muscles you have prepares you for receiving more. In the gym, you work out 10 reps with 10 pounds. When your muscles are trained, you get 15 pounds. When your muscles are trained, you get 20 pounds. You know that because of how many times you can throw up the lower weight. Same thing. When spiritual things come your way, if we're dealing with selfishness right off the bat, I can't go anywhere else. If we're dealing with keeping instead of giving, I can't go anywhere else. If we're dealing with my church instead of our church, we can't go anywhere else. If the small things aren't happening, the big things aren't coming. Well, it's right there. How do I know I'm ready? Starts with it being not about you and about everybody else. Well, Craig, ask me questions. Let me check off the list. Are you giving your time? Are you giving your tithe? Are you giving your talents? And are they unquestioned? There's your first three. If not, you're not ready. What do you want me to say? And do you know who this bothers? Do you know who I just ticked off? Do you think I ticked off anybody who's doing those things? Okay. Just saying. If there was any anger or bitterness welling up in your heart in the last 5 minutes, you're not ready. Because you're not mad at me. Next verse. I got to look this way at this one because there's a lot. These are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. Okay? Following up what I just said. These are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? Okay, so I only get to judge, you ready? Your actions. I do not know your thoughts. Let me stop and teach you something about maturity here, though. And I'm going to be very careful how I do this because of a confrontation that I had in the last 2 weeks. Be very careful how you are judged and how you judge others based on single circumstances. Okay? Be very careful how you judge and how you are judged based on single circumstances. Okay? Let me give you an example. Somebody comes in here, visits our church. There's no evidence of them giving, all right? The worst thing in the world that I could do is run back into Carolyn, run to the elders and go, we do not want this person to be a part of our church because they are not givers. How stupid is that? They may have a lifestyle of giving that has spanned 10, 20, 30, 40 years. But on that one moment, I decide that the sign of their spiritual maturity is that be careful. On the other hand, when there is consistent, regular input into the things of God, there is then evidence of spiritual maturity in you, or evidence of lack of spiritual health in you. Do you understand that? Listen again. For who knows the person's thoughts except their own spirit? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit. Okay? I can't know your thoughts and I can't know your heart. But upon reflection of your habitual serving, habitual giving, habitual anger, habitual attendance, habitual unrighteousness, habitual sinning, I can see the evidence played out of what is going on within. You don't plant apple seeds and end up with bananas. The fruit is what's inside. But when the bloom comes out, we don't make a judgment right then, now do we? We wait for the evidence. That's what I want to teach you. Something I learned recently. What have we received is not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of God, so that we may not understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities of spirit-taught words. Here is the NIV version of the verse I quoted about a natural man. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. Let me stop and let me play this right into everything that's going on in our culture in the last 2 years. One of the biggest problems I have with Christians is this. You expect non-believers to act like you. And you get very angry, upset, and rail your opinions publicly on Facebook, out loud to your friends. And do you know what that shows me? How immature you are. That's what it shows me. I watch Facebook and I cringe at the spiritual immaturity of people who call themselves believers. And the greatest sign of that immaturity is their expectation that someone who does not have the Spirit of God in them can understand what the Spirit of God is saying. That would be like me standing next to Mr. Miyagi, him speaking Mandarin, and me to believe that I get it. Well, I can tell by the look on his face what he's saying. Liar! It's the same thing. If you don't know Mandarin, speaking Mandarin does no difference. If you don't know Spanish, speaking Spanish does no thing. If you don't know Jesus, reading the scriptures he wrote does nothing. A natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit. Listen to me, they are foolishness to him. How many people have you run into and tried to share the Word of God with, and they laughed it off and said it's foolishness, it's poppycock, it doesn't make any sense? There's a reason. Jesus said it was going to happen. The person with the Spirit makes judgment about all things, but such a person is not subject to human judgments. Can I tell you another sign of spiritual maturity? When you're acting out in the Spirit and you're connected with the Spirit and you make a call that you believe with all your heart is in the Spirit, and 75 people condemn you and fluster you and judge you and call you out on it, and you allow them to steal your joy. I did that. I was mad at myself for it too. I let somebody steal my joy. I let somebody say words to me, and they owned my mind for 24 hours. Owned my mind and my heart. What in the world? I need to confess my spiritual immaturity. But as I'm doing so, because I'm called to be your pastor, I've already told you I'm going to make mistakes, I'm going to tell you that I took it back, that I own it, that it no longer consumes me, and I'm looking at you, and I'm saying, don't let your spouse, don't let your children, don't let me, don't let the people you work with, don't let your bosses, don't let the people who aren't your friends do it to you. God gives you joy. Don't let somebody else take it away. It's a sign of spiritual immaturity. Don't let anybody do that to you. Be mature in Christ. Own it. Be it. You're a child of God. Live it. But don't expect people without the Spirit to live it with you. Your job is then what? To show them the Spirit. To offer them the Spirit. And somebody said it. And to love. Love. Real spiritual maturity manifests itself before God in two ways. Those who love their neighbor as themselves, and those who love God with all their heart, and those who love me do what? Obey my commands. The two greatest reflections of spiritual maturity are love and obedience. And I want you to hear me very clearly as I have walked us through these last 5 weeks and into next week. You are not going to like me, and how you feel about me is not going to affect how I preach, because I need to be spiritually mature. I am going to call you to obedience, and you do not get to justify your disobedience with excuses. Do you hear me? You do not get to justify your disobedience with excuses. No. Because that is the essence of spiritual immaturity. And here's the great part. You don't get to point fingers at me. Because all I'm going to do is read the scripture and explain it to you. And you are going to have to deal. And listen to me. And how you deal will not come from here. How you deal will not come from here. How you deal will flow through here, out of here, and into here. Actions speak louder than word. Talk is and the sign of spiritual immaturity. How do you become spiritually mature? I am the vine, and my Father, the gardener. He cuts off every branch that bears no fruit, while every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. You cannot bear fruit unless you remain in me. And then the verse we all know, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Church, here is how you remain in the vine. Number one, you show up and you allow the person called to the congregation that you are a member of to speak into you. Once spoken into, you mull over, you pray over, you assess the words that were spoken. The next day, you seek his face. You seek his face. You listen to those who have gone before you. You read the scriptures. You study to show yourself approved. And you go away from this place not expecting to live on what I've given, but you feed yourself every day. You take a bite of the Word of God and you chew on it and you grow in it. And all day you pray continually, giving thanks in all circumstances. This prayer, the prayer of the effectual fervent man, avails much. You pray, you seek, and you will find. Eat, not just at this table, but daily at his table. Connect to the vine, and fruit will occur. Don't let excuses chain you. Don't let bitterness chain you. Don't let the devil chain you. And don't let everybody else tell you what they think. What matters is what God thinks and how close you are to him, so that the sheep know his voice. Let's pray.